Film Nerds Unlimited. Lo-fi movie conversations with high-quality movie connoisseurs. Ben Flanagan of AL.com. Ben Stark of Wondermill Films.
Hello, Ben. How are you?
Good, Ben. Good morning.
So there's lots of conversations going on right now. I mean, really, there's ongoing conversations about how movies are changing, how we are absorbing them and digesting them. And then last week there was kind of a smackdown between two CEOs of, for lack of a better term, movie companies. Reed Hastings was at a Q&A session, and he mentioned that theaters have not been innovative in the last 30 years. They haven't innovated beyond popcorn. And he, of course, runs Netflix and is, you know, proud of the fact that Netflix offers their content and their movies and their kind of revolutionary movies on an ever evolving platform. And then Tim League, who runs Alamo Drafthouse Theaters, kind of fired back and argued that, well, you know, maybe they haven't had the revolution in technology, but they still promise the best possible experience for people that watch movies. And what Netflix offers is not necessarily the experience that most major filmmakers want. You know, he said that when filmmakers want you to watch the movie, they're not expecting you to watch it while you chop vegetables or on mute while you rock a baby to sleep. But that, you know, he, in terms of offering a unique and exclusive theatrical experience, that's what he's in the business of doing. And while, you know, there could always be, you know, while they need to keep a high standard of quality, he says that really they're available to serve the movies themselves rather than, you know, just make technological change for technological change sake. So that was the messiest possible recap of this kind of conversation. But I think really it comes down to this big difference in, you know, this big presence that Netflix has become and how it positions against theaters. Where are you at in this whole spectrum?
I'm kind of on the fence. I can see both. I can see value on both sides of it, but I think honestly, I'm leaning in the direction of Hastings, not necessarily exclusively for Netflix, but just creating the best possible environment for me to enjoy entertainment in the product. And I appreciate League's stubborn romanticism when it comes to cinema, as he refers to it over and over
right.
and over. But he's mindfully neglecting a really important aspect of this, and especially in terms of the community center idea and how it should be a shared experience among movie fans. That shared experience can be disastrous. Like we've covered it here on Film Nerds Unlimited. I've experienced it recently when I went and saw Logan, where the shared experience was with five people in a theater, including myself, and the other four people being as loud and obnoxious as they could for 2.5 hours. So that shared experience doesn't always go according to plan. And you can imagine what it's like, especially if you go on a Friday night or a Sunday afternoon when the theater is filled with 300 people. So you get a mixed bag of just unexpected, unanticipated behavior, random acts of behavior from people who are there not for the shared experience, but for the selfish experience of, I'm here for me. I'm going to eat. I'm going to talk. I'm going to check my phone. I'm going to ruin this for everybody else. And to be quite honest with you, that's okay, because it's a risk that we take. Paying the $10 or more and going to a theater and watching it with a bunch of people we don't know. So I love the theatrical experience. I grew up on it, and I'm definitely old school in the way where it's like, I want to see a big Hollywood movie, or any movie for that matter, in a large dark theater on the biggest possible screen with the best possible sound, that sounds great to me. And if the audience, you know, collectively behaves, even better. But that's not always a guarantee. So for me lately, especially as I'm getting older and moving into my 30s and I've got a kid and I have limited time in terms of when I can see a movie, how I can see a movie, it becomes about choice. It becomes about comfort. And if I can put myself in the best possible environment, especially as TVs and technology continues to improve and the TVs continue to get bigger, the sound continues to get better, and I can make my home viewing experience as high quality as I can, then how could I not want to put myself in that position where I can have a quiet room? And it's up to me if I check my phone. It's up to me if I put it on mute and put on the subtitles and rock my baby. That's a choice that I make, but it's also a choice that people make to not act like idiots when they're in the theater. So I see both sides of the coin.
Yeah, I mean, there is no, in either case, it doesn't seem like there is a consistently ideal scenario, you know? I mean, if I'm a filmmaker, let's say, and I've got, you know, my masterpiece and I want to put it on a screen, you know, there's no promise that if I exclusively put it in cinemas that I will, that everybody will have uninterrupted perfect experiences. And there's no promise that if I put it exclusively on Netflix, that people won't watch it on the toilet on their iPhones. And so I think that, I failed to mention there at the heart of this discussion, there is a kind of concrete decision here that or a kind of an agenda, which is exclusivity. You know, if Netflix makes it's basically the exclusivity window between should movies be available in the theater for a period of time before they're allowed to be on home viewing platforms. And that's something that Graham and I have talked about in past episodes as well. But I think that, it's flawed on both sides. So yeah, it's hard to take polarized positions on it. So as a fan of the traditional theatrical experience, do you feel a threat at all from Netflix?
No, not really, because it's just the trend of the industry. I mean, it's a consumer-driven industry like any other, and so you're going to go with what the audience wants. If audiences wanted to stay in theaters and didn't want that option of watching it at home and streaming and binging, then we'd all still be in theaters. I mean, the cinema that Tim League continues to talk about and to promote, it's a wonderful thing, but day after day, it becomes even more antiquated, unfortunately. And I say that as somebody, again, who grew up on it. But you just kind of got to go with the times, you know? Like, I'm still kind of old school to a fault in that, like, you know, there are no more video stores. You know, like Redbox is the new video store, but Netflix has replaced that, too. And I can get whatever I want at any time with Netflix or Hulu or whatever, Amazon Prime, whatever. But me, I've got a local library that happens to have a great collection. But when I go to the library to rent a movie for free, the movie I want isn't always there, and that's new and old titles. But I still enjoy the thrill of the chase, like I had when I had a video store in town. So when I could just maybe order it online somewhere, or I could just call ahead and reserve it, I don't want to do that because that's not what I grew up doing, and that's on me. That's my fault. So I think the same is true for the people like League and the consumers out there who exclusively prefer a theatrical experience. Again, like that's gradually going away. And I think we're in a good position right now where as long as we have choice, then we kind of have the best of both worlds. If we have same-day release, if we have VOD, if we have the choice to watch either of them or experience the movies either way at the same time, we need to take advantage of that right now because that's going to go away really soon once it's going to be exclusive streaming.
So you aren't – so if you consider a future where your daughter, you know, is in college and she – there's a new movie coming out, a new exciting movie, and she gets to, she doesn't get to see it in the theater, and her best option is to find the best TV she can find it on, and that's the only way to watch it. That's, you're okay with that? That's not a...
Yes, I am okay with that, because by the time that happens, she's probably going to be reading about movie theaters in her textbooks or on her Kindle in her class or whatever, whatever the new wave of technology is, you know? That's how antiquated I think the theatrical experience is right now. And I think it's moving at an alarming rate, especially as somebody who grew up on it and loved it and still loves it to an extent. But again, I mean, TVs are getting bigger. Like people who are in position to do it, and it's growing more and more available to everybody to grow and sort of customize their home theater, it becomes that much better. The quality, in fact, I think that you're sort of in a position to absorb the content in a better way at home than you are when you go to a theater full of people, especially when you go see movies like Frozen and Zootopia and Moana and these kids' movies
Right.
The theaters are full of children, you know, and you're having to concentrate on wrangling your own and you're having to sort of like drown out the distractions of others. And that's true for, you know, G-rated kids movies. And it's true again for movies like R-rated brutal movies like Logan, you know, so it's complicated and it sucks, but it's just the reality of it. And if I can, look, as a film fan, however I can watch and absorb the piece of art as best that I can, that's how I would prefer to watch it. I'd love to watch it in an old theater if everybody shuts up and we can just enjoy it and they turn off their phones. And there's a thrill in being able to watch a movie in a single sitting. You have one shot at it. You can't just get up. You can't press pause. It's just going to play continuously. And so you have that, you still have that in-the-moment experience and feeling. But, again, that's rare because even when you're there, people are checking their stupid phones. They're not shutting up. And so if I can take that home and tune that out, then the odds are better that I'm going to be able to enjoy a movie better.
So I'm questioning you, but I'm gonna hop in a second. But so just this statement, give me a yes or no if you agree with it, or if it's so way off base, then just scrap it and clarify it for me. But so you agree that Netflix is a threat to the theatrical experience, but only to the degree that the theatrical experience has kind of weakened itself and made itself vulnerable to this threat. Would you agree with that statement?
Well, when you say it's a threat to the theatrical experience, what specifically do you mean?
I mean that in 10 years, because of the way that Netflix works and because of what it offers, will it be considered as one of the reasons that theaters started closing up their doors?
Absolutely. And again, look at what has happened to video stores as a result of Netflix. And as a result,
so you think that the potential is that theaters are just another kind of notch on the murder stick that Netflix carries around as it kills all of these platforms.
I mean, is that not
Blu-ray? What about
has
Blu-ray?
That not been the conversation?
Sure. No, it has. I'm just kind of seeing kind of where you're at. Okay. So, and you're in this, let's say, okay, so now that we've positioned this war of attrition, this battle to the death between these two things, you're kind of leaning to the side of Netflix.
Yeah. If I can get the movies that especially in terms of like instant availability too, you know, like in terms of like, how accessible are these movies that are in theaters? Do I have to go see the movie at the theater? And plus, I'm paying more to see it at the theater for that experience that could be ruined at an instant than I would be if I were just able to watch it at home on demand. And I don't watch a lot of movies on demand, especially when they've just left theaters or they're in theaters at the same time. I would still prefer to go to the theater. Like when Mission Impossible 6 comes out, I want to see that movie on the biggest possible screen with the best possible sound in a giant movie theater, you know? Like
when Mission Impossible 12 comes out and your daughter is going to be watching it on her tablet because she doesn't know anybody with a big enough TV, that's not going to be a sad thing for you?
It might be a sad thing for me because I'll be able to like think of the days of yore when theaters were the exclusive way to watch those movies, and that's how I
it won't be sad for her for saying that, she'll...
No, it won't be sad for her because she won't know anything different, you know? It's like,
wow.
You think that, You think our grandparents are sad that we're not? You think our grandparents are sad that we weren't like listening to DuckTales on the radio when we were growing up? Or do you think, oh wait, like this is just what they do now? They watch it on TV.
No, I don't think that. But I think that there was probably, you know, something to the fact that we're absorbing it in such a passive way. All right, so look, let's just back up for a second, and I'll state my position, which is that if this is a battle of life and death, and one has to stand up and survive, I don't even have to think about that. I would much rather live in a world where we have theatrical experiences, and I know I'm on the losing side here, but I would much rather live in a world that has only theatrical experiences than live in a world where I can stream a movie from my phone. Because
it's not about the phone, though. You're ignoring the quality of
home theater experience. Watching,
because TVs are getting better. They're getting bigger.
Not my
TV.
Not my TV, less expensive. No, my stuff is the same. It's what I bought in 2008, and it's fine. But guess what? When I watch a movie at home, the baby cries, or the cat falls off the damn shelf, or the dog barks,
or the neighbor shows up. You can pause and restart at any time.
Yeah, but that completely destroys the experience of watching that film and of absorbing that narrative. If that had happened the first time that I watched Jurassic Park, if I was in the middle of the freaking T-Rex attack scene and the notification went off on my iPad that somebody sent me an email, that movie would be different for me forever. You know what I'm saying? Like, so the way that we watch these things is important, and it's to be protected, I think. And obviously it's not protected by your local theater, but I think that's on the that's not a symptom of the media, or that's not an issue with the medium. That's an issue with the gatekeeper of the medium. And
well,
I think that's
it's luck of the draw, though, because again, like,
if you saw Jurassic Park
at the theater. Like, what's going to stop somebody from bringing their infant into your theater and their infant from crying throughout most of the movie and hurting that experience? Did I relive the Jurassic World experience that we talked about on FNU for you?
No, everybody
should
go.
That was my one shot. You know, I could have walked out and asked for my money back, but that was my one shot. I paid my $12, and that's what I got, and it hurt the experience.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I don't disagree with you, and everybody should go back and listen to that because it's hilarious. But also, that's the risk, but guess what? It's only a risk because the theaters have put themselves in the position. And that's what I was saying earlier, is that Netflix can be commended is that they, before they launch next stages of 4K video or, you know, 5.1 surround, all these things of their platform, they make sure that the first person that plays that isn't going to get buffering issues or, you know, isn't going to have playback issues because they protect their platform. And that's not what the theaters are doing. You know, the franchising of the theaters has been put in charge of people that may as well be running a gas station. You know, these people don't care about the experience. And I think that's the problem, more so than anything inherent to the medium itself. And that's why I would rather give up Netflix than a theatrical experience, because again, that's what separates movies and cinema from reading a book or a comic book. If I just wanted something that I could digest at home with my feet up and a cat walking across my head, then I'll read a comic book. That's great. I'm fine with that. I'll read a book. I when I'm sitting down to watch a movie that engages, you know, the majority of my senses, I don't want distractions. And when it's working properly, which for me locally and my local Carmike over here, 85% of the time it works just fine. You know, there's
right.
not,
and it's, but it's a case by case basis, because you're going to get distractions at the theater too. But you might not get distracted when you're watching it at home. And it doesn't
but I might
matter.
Not get distracted at the theater. That's
right.
That's my point.
So
it's easier to mitigate those distractions at the theater, which is basically just a manager saying, no, sir, that's a baby, not coming in here. That's all that experience is missing. But at my house, life isn't stopping, and it's up to me. And I don't watch movies at home. I just have completely stopped, unless – and well, there's another conversation to have. So I've stopped watching movies I really care about at home because I know it's going to get paused 15 minutes in because we got to put out some fire somewhere. And so I think what we may benefit from doing, well, here, finish your thought, and then I'm going to change directions.
Well, it just depends on what we want to get out of the experience, you know?
Yes.
Like, if the distractions are one thing, and then how we appreciate the art itself on either of the mediums. So, like, in 2013 or 12 or whenever it was, I went and saw Gravity at the theater. And it was just a totally immersive experience. Amazing. An amazing picture, amazing sound, and I was blown away by it. But then I tried to watch it on DVD several months later on a television screen, and it lost a lot. You know, like there was a lot lost in translation, and I couldn't enjoy it the same way. It was not as immersive, and that's a movie that needed a giant screen. That, like, I had to experience it that way first, because I haven't been able to watch it the same way since. So, yeah, like, it's apples and oranges in terms of what we're talking about here, but there are pros and cons to each of them.
Well, here's the
like,
thing.
That doesn't mean I can't watch a movie like and appreciate a movie like Manchester by the Sea. Not to say that movie isn't cinematic and doesn't belong on a big screen, but I think it just depends on the movie. It depends on the content. It depends on the level of control that we have in terms of how we want to create the right atmosphere and environment to experience those particular movies. It's not the same for every single situation.
Here's the thing, and they get into this in the Hastings League conversation, is that I think we are talking about two different things. We're talking about apples and oranges on one side, and this is my argument. I think apples are cinema, as Tim Leake defines it. You know, these movies like The Master or Mission Impossible Rogue Nation or Tree of Life or The Dark Knight, you know, these great big movies, whether they're populist or whether they're more minimalist or art house or foreign or something like that. But these are all movies that I think we can vaguely agree that you need to be trapped in the theater or trapped in the experience of watching these on a massive screen. I think on that side, that's cinema. And then on the other hand, I think you have what, for lack of a better term, digital streaming content, which is just some shit to flicker in front of our eyes to make us forget that we're all going to die someday. And that's kind of what Netflix has to offer. And my fear is that, yes, you've got apples and oranges. You've got the stuff that – and that's kind of where I'm at with how I watch movies is we watch stuff on TV, but I don't watch movies that I'm serious about on TV. What I watch is something that both my wife and I can agree will entertain us for a little while, and we don't mind if it's paused. We don't mind if we forget where we were and back up and, you know, hop around, where we get the basics of a narrative and it's an enjoyable experience. And there's a very narrow amount of stuff that falls into that, but guess what? You know who's right there providing an awful lot of that material? It's Netflix. And the way that they shoot and the way that they produce these things are all in service of the way that we digest it, this streaming digital content. And my fear is that, yeah, right now we're talking about apples and oranges, and they're not really a threat to one another. But guess what? Someday, when orange stores are all there are and Apple stores aren't – bad example – but Apple stores aren't, you know, a thing anymore, apples are going to turn into oranges. And when the distribution platform is entirely about convenience, then filmmakers are going to be forced to start making movies for that convenience and making them for – I know that you're not saying that Netflix is necessarily primarily made for iPhones, but guess what? I would put money on the fact that most Netflix content is streamed on something about the size of an iPad on average. It's not streaming 4K UHD movies on
the
screen.
That's the choice of the consumer. They're not
consumers
forced to do
are
that.
Are dummies. That's the okay. So back up.
No.
So
let me make this point. If you go back to Jurassic Park. Steven Spielberg makes Jurassic Park, and he's hoping that everybody watches it on the big screen. But there are going to be some people out there, you can call them jackasses or dummies if you want to, who say, I'm going to wait for video. You know, like, I'm not going to see it at the theater. I have kids. I have preferences, whatever it may be.
Pause,
even in 1993 and 1994.
Pause. I'm not saying that people that want convenience are dummies. All right, continue. I'm going to clarify that statement later, but that's not what I was saying.
I'm just saying it's the consumer choice, okay? So it's not a guarantee that everybody's going to see something at the theater. You're talking about depending on human behavior and choice as a filmmaker in terms of how people consume that art. It's no guarantee, man.
That's not true. That's not what I'm saying.
And it's also, and look, man, like in what's his name, Tim Lee, he made the point that you just reiterated there about how Netflix – their content is designed to support a subscriber-based medium and make them money. I mean, what do you think Hollywood studio films are? Are those movies not designed to support their bottom line and to help their bottom line? It's not like we're talking about the purest art form in the world here and the purest method to get people to watch movies in the world here. It's all about making money. So I don't really buy that argument. And also, I mean, do you think Beasts of No Nation was designed for binge watching? Do you think that Martin Scorsese is going to make The Irishman with the, like, do you think at all times as he's making that movie with the budget that it will have, do you think that he's going to be thinking, you know what, I've got to make this for the Netflix crowd or else it's not going to go over.
I'm not saying that's the case right now, but I'm saying in 10 years when Netflix is the dominant force in distributing movies, guess what? I mean, they're not, they, it will be up to them, and I don't trust them, to determine whether they offer that to us. And backing up, it's not about, you're not depending on the behavior of the viewer if somebody, pops a six pack in Jurassic Park. You're depending on the structures of the system that provides that, experience to the viewer. And that's what I'm saying is preserving this system, which is flawed, but is not broken and certainly not worth shutting down entirely, and is, in my opinion, superior to the kind of the streaming system that we're that's potentially killing it. So, but let's apply that logic of, well, do it for whatever the consumer wants. Give the consumer what they want. If we apply that logic to movies themselves, not in terms of distribution, but in terms of content, well, guess what we get? We get branded material. We get the emoji movie because that's something that everybody sees, so let's make a damn movie about it.
That's how Hollywood works, though, is giving the consumer what they want.
Why are Hollywood works? It's only how Hollywood works when it's scared and when it's not willing to train consumers. And that's the environment that we grew up in, where Hollywood was not afraid of the consumer and chased the consumer. Hollywood said, this is what we do. Here's the kind of movies we make. Here's some suggested, we want to make movies you like, but we're going to make them within these boundaries. We're not going to make movies about board games because that's idiotic. So what we're going to do is we're going to make movies about humans and you will be entertained by them.
The only way I'm going to give you any money to make this movie about humans is if I think I'm going to get a return on investment, and if I think I'm going to make money doing it, whether that's emoji movie or whether that's Silence or Manchester by the Sea. That's the only way it works. So, there would be no movies unless people thought it's what the audience wanted.
And the audience does want it because for 90 years, audiences went to go see good movies. But because our entire economy at this point, Jesus, is about chasing and chasing money and staying on top and being making the best quarter financial numbers, everything is about the short term. So everybody chases short term. Short-term consumer trends and things that make people happy in the short run. And that's not stable. That's not sustainable. And that's what I'm saying is that if this Netflix versus theater argument comes down to, well, do whatever consumers want, what I'm saying is, well, no, don't do whatever consumers want. Certainly take that into account. But at the end of the day, consumers are going to respond to base lowest common denominator things, and that's not what we're supposed to, that's not healthy. You know, that's not healthy That's not a healthy diet of consumption, of just to consume the easiest and most pleasing things. And that's what the system of the Hollywood system and the theatrical system has done so well for so long, is to put a little bit of discipline and a little bit of put a little bit of a bridle on the mouth of the screaming stallion that is the unwashed masses. And I think that that's good. I think that's what we pay for, is curation, you know, and is this guided experience through these filmmakers' films. And the less that that goes, the less that that's there, and the more that it just turns into, well, I want to see blood, and you put that on the streaming platform, then that's going to degrade the medium, and that's going to ask less and less of filmmakers, and it's going to deliver less and less to the consumer at the end of the day. So it's just I think it's a similar trend to what we see in movies, where, you know, there's some good movies out there, but a lot of them are sequels and prequels and reboots and Transformers movies and toy movies. And that's because Hollywood, the same way that the distribution platforms, are serving short-term interests. And I think that that's dangerous.
It's dangerous, but movies wouldn't have been put in theaters in the first place and wouldn't have stayed in theaters unless the people putting them there didn't think the audience wanted them there, and unless they made money for all of those many decades, you know? And
it's a different audience. That's the thing.
Exactly.
The audience is being trained now to watch. The audience is being trained the way that people used to watch Casablanca or let's stop talking in high art terms, but in, you know, how they watched The Ape or whatever B movie came out. People were trained to watch those in a certain environment, and now they're being trained to watch it while they defecate on a toilet on their iPhone. And so as you train your audience to indulge in their base choices, then guess what they're going to choose? Are they going to choose the discipline, or are they going to choose the base indulgences? They're going to choose the base indulgences, and eventually that's going to impact. If you let the consumer tell you exactly how to do every part of your job as a producer or a distributor, then guess what? That experience is going to suffer for all the way down the line.
Listen, we were texting yesterday about all of these movies we saw during the summer of 1996, and I saw a ton. That like might be the most movies I ever saw in any given period of time. If I could have paid less money and if I could have watched Joe's Apartment and fled on a toilet, as opposed to seeing Mission Impossible and Independence Day and The Rock in the theater, if I had that choice back then, I probably would have done that. You know, and at some point the technology caught up, and it with the thought that, hey, we could watch these movies at home for a little cheaper in high definition on people's televisions, they caught up with each other, and it's just a matter of technological evolution. I mean, it's just a reality that was going to happen no matter what. I'm sure there are people out there who thought black and white television was the dandiest thing in the world, you know, but at some point it had to go color. And at some point it had to go HD, and at some point it had to do this, and it had to do that, and people just rolled with it. And you can prefer things like that, and you can harken back to things like that, but at some point things are just going to change. And I know that.
But that's it's the difference between a microwave meal and going to a restaurant. Like, people still go to restaurants. Why aren't microwave meals? Why didn't they kill the restaurant business? Because people experience.
I disagree.
It's totally the same thing.
I disagree with you because, I mean, you're talking about, the quality of a microwave meal is not as good as the restaurant meal. That might be true, but I don't consider that the same. My Blu-ray of Inception is still the movie Inception in the highest possible quality that I can have it, and I can turn it on at any time and enjoy Christopher Nolan's wonderful piece of Hollywood blockbuster art the same way, not in the same way that I did when I saw it at the theater, but it's still the same movie, you know? Like, that's where I think the argument gets a little dicey, and sort of like the understanding of the apples and oranges concept, because the movies don't change, the way in which you watch them changes, you know?
And what I'm saying is eventually they will change. I think that's the end of the pipeline will start determining what goes in the beginning of the pipeline. And that's where my kind of misgivings come from, and that's where it comes from. Where if we were limited, and we do need to wrap up, but if we were limited to big screen theatrical experiences alone, with no, you know, at the touch of a button in the palm of my hand, option, then I feel like movies would be better. That's kind of where I'm at. So what's your kind of final takeaway?
I think movies are still pretty great, and I think it's going to depend on guys like Christopher Nolan and Steven Spielberg and Paul Thomas Anderson, and you know, even the likes of James Cameron, these people who still move the needle in terms of the way the studio system trends in terms of making the movies themselves. And they might be influenced and informed by how people are taking them in. Sure, but I personally don't think great filmmakers like that, and there are plenty of young ones out there too, I don't think that they're going to be shaken in terms of how they make movies. I'm depending on those artists to make the movies that they want to make the way they want to make them. The fans are different, you know, like the fans are going to consume it how they want to consume it. But again, I think for the most part, Hollywood is going to stick to making movies the way that they make them. And again, I look at something like Beasts of No Nation, which is a film, very cinematic, a movie that came out on Netflix the same day it went to theaters. It did not suffer. And I know that's the first example, and things are going to change, and there will be evolution in that industry the same way that we're talking about here, and the same way that you're projecting here, and the way that the quality might deteriorate. But if we've got, you know, directors like that and Martin Scorsese right now making them, I hope that the way that they do it, if these movies are able to make a buck, the way that they're making them in the highest possible quality and in the only way that they know how, I hope that informs how people continue to make them in the future. And that remains to be seen. But my final takeaway here is if I can go see a movie at the theater and it's a guarantee that I'm not going to be distracted or bothered by the people around me, that's how I would want to see it. I want to see it on the big screen. And I try to avoid that. I try to go see movies at 11 o'clock in the morning, so the fewest amount of people or the fewest number of people can be there when I watch, and I have less of a chance of being distracted or annoyed or whatever. But I tried to do that with Logan. I saw it at 11:30 in the morning. There were five people in the theater. Four of them were yelling, screaming, and fighting and playing on phones and watching YouTube videos the whole time. So as long as that keeps happening, it's going to deter me from continuing to go to the movies, especially if I can press a button, pay less money, and watch Logan in high definition in my own house. Then that just might be what I do, but it's up to me to make that choice.
All right, well, I think this is a conversation that we could come at from various different angles, so maybe we'll revisit it down the road. So thanks for your time. This was enlightening.
For more Film Nerds Unlimited, go to filmnerds.com or find us on Facebook and Twitter. If you like what you hear, rate and review our podcast on iTunes. Keep an eye out for the next issue of Film Nerds Unlimited, coming soon.